What if I were to tell you this morning that you were in danger, but likely completely unaware of it? This is a danger that is difficult to discern. It's a danger that we are most often blind to. Yet it's a danger that is quite deadly. What is this danger? Well, today, as we continue in our sermon series, Greater, the author of Hebrews is going to tell us. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can open them up to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And I'd like to begin just by reading our entire passage this morning. It says this: "Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord. It was attested to us by those who heard. Well, God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will." This is God's holy and perfect word. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and praise you for this time to come and worship you. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us and direct us into the truth of your word. That you would give us eyes to see your truth, ears to hear your truth, a heart to receive, to understand, to know, and to love your truth. Lord, would you help us fall deeper in love with you this morning? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last year when I was in Colorado, I went on a hike around a large mountain lake. And as I was going on this hike, I saw something that caught my eye. Something that was out of place. See, about 50 feet from shore in the water, there was this brand new, expensive paddleboard. And the strange thing was that no one was on it. Now, as I rounded the corner in my hike, I finally identified the owner of this paddleboard. There's a man standing on the shoreline with a large paddle in one hand, this distraught look on his face as his paddleboard was drifting slowly further and further and further away from him. Now, you might be wondering, why doesn't he just jump right in, swim after it, and reclaim it? Well, it'd actually be quite dangerous to do that unless you have a thick wetsuit and a good life jacket. Because this is a mountain lake and the water is so cold that your muscles can quickly cramp, which can cause you to then drown. So this man, he found himself in a helpless position. In a helpless situation. And as I passed him by on the trail, I checked in on him to see if he was okay. He said he was okay, and then he told me a story. He was paddleboarding in the lake, and he wanted to rest for a bit, so he came to the shore. He took his paddleboard, and he had put it half on the shore, leaving half in the water. And then he just walked away from it, unconcerned. And when he eventually did return, he had found that the lake had pulled the board back into the water and caused it to drift far, far away from him. Now, let me ask you this question. What was the main problem here? Was the main problem that the paddleboard had drifted away from the man? Or was the main problem that the man had drifted away from the paddleboard? See, I would argue that it was the latter. The main problem was that the man had drifted away from his paddleboard. He had left it too long unattended to. He had walked away from it unconcerned. He had neglected to keep a close eye on it. He had neglected to put it in a place where it wouldn't drift away or have an opportunity to drift away. And because of it, he found himself separated from this paddleboard with no way of getting it back. Now, here's the truth that we must recognize today. That this is a picture of our relationship with Jesus at times. We are that man. We as Christians in our apathy, in our unconcern, in our neglect, we have slowly drifted further and further and further away. We at times in our life, we've left our faith too long unattended to. We've become apathetic in our love and our passion and our devotion for Jesus. At times we are completely unconcerned about our spiritual health, about our spiritual growth, about the direction we are going to in life. At times we neglect to spend time with Jesus in any meaningful way, and because of this, we have drifted further and further and further away. And the danger for us is this, that if we don't awake to our apathy, if we don't awake to our unconcern and our neglect, we may one day look around and see that we have drifted so far from Christ that he is nowhere to be found in our life. Yet the author of Hebrews does not want that to be our fate. And so today he is trying to shake us, to stir us awake by having us reflect on four things: great attention, great judgment, great salvation, and great confirmation. So let's begin by reflecting on great attention. If someone who you know were to come up to you and grab you by the arm and say, "I don't have much time, pay attention," how would you respond? Well, we would likely know that what they have to say is very important, so we'd probably listen very attentively. Now, what if God came up and did that to you? If God said, "Pay attention," how would you respond? Would you carefully listen? See, this is actually occurring to us in our text this morning. God is speaking to us through his word, saying, "Pay attention." Take a look at verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 2. "Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it." See, God through his word is telling us this morning not simply just to pay attention, but to pay much closer attention, to pay more attention. And actually, the Greek grammar in the text, it's communicating something far stronger to us. The Greek is actually telling us to pay the most attention, pay the closest attention. It could literally be translated as pay the greatest attention. So out of everything in your life right now, out of everything that is on your plate, out of everything that is on your heart, God is telling you this morning, pay greatest attention to this. Now, what is this? What are we to pay greatest attention to? Hebrews 1 tells us to the message that we have heard, to the gospel. Now, let's pause here for a moment for some self-evaluation. I want you to ask yourself right now, what are you paying the greatest attention to in life? Right, I want you to honestly answer that question. What are you paying the most attention to right now in life? Are you giving the gospel your greatest attention? See, this is something that should challenge each and every single one of us. For each and every single one of us, we've struggled to give the gospel our greatest attention in life. As Christians, we may not have rejected the gospel from our life, but we've all neglected the gospel in some form or fashion. All right, let me say that again, and let us see that that is true of all of us. We as Christians, we may not have rejected the gospel in our life, but we all have neglected it. And when this happens, when we neglect the gospel, we drift from it. That's the warning of verse 1. We as Christians often drift. The author of Hebrews, he's using a nautical metaphor here. That verb, to drift away, it's used to describe a ship that's been loosened from its anchor. A ship that's been loosened from its moorings and it is slowly drifting away, being carried away by the current of the sea. And so the text is commanding us to attentively see that we are always anchored in the harbor of the gospel. The text is commanding us to attentively see that we're always securely fastened to the dock of the gospel and that we would not drift from it. Yet that's far easier said than done. As one pastor and theologian put it, Kent Hughes, he said, "Drifting is the besetting sin of the day." In other words, out of everything that we as Christians struggle with in the American church, drifting is our most probable sin. That's because drifting can occur so quickly. It doesn't take long to drift. It's kind of like when you go to a grocery store and you buy one of those specialty loaves of bread, maybe a long French bread, baguette, maybe a delicious loaf of sourdough. You go home, you have some of that bread, but there's some left over, so you put it on your countertop. And then what happens to that bread in a matter of a day or two? That bread quickly grows stale. What once was fresh and delicious in a matter of a day or two, it suddenly is transformed into a rock on your countertop that is completely inedible. And here's the scary truth for us. Our heart can grow stale in our love for Jesus as quickly, if not quicker, than bread can grow stale. We can grow stale in our love for Jesus in a matter of 2 or 3 days of time. We can drift that fast from Jesus. All it takes for us to drift is a little bit of time. All it takes for us to drift is a little neglect, a little indifference, a little apathy, and before we know it, we are drifting far away from the harbor of the gospel. And it's important for us to understand that we can drift in a myriad of ways, and this is part of what makes it so challenging. We can drift in our love for God. We can easily become consumed with other things. For example, some of us, we might be more excited about football tonight than we are about Jesus, right? It's easy for our affections to drift. We can also drift in truth and theology. At times in our life, we decide, you know what? I know what is best. I know what is good. I know what is right. And so we drift from the truth. Or we, at times, we look to other authorities and the Word of God to guide us. And so, again, we drift from what is good theology. We can drift in a number of other ways. We can drift in our obedience and our commitment and spending time with the Lord and so on and so forth. Another part of what makes this drifting so difficult is that it's hard to detect when we are drifting. Its movement is subtle. So subtle that oftentimes we're not even aware that we're drifting. This is why we need to be ever watchful. It's why we need to give the gospel our greatest attention each and every single day so that we don't give ourselves an opportunity to drift. Are you tending to the gospel daily? Are you giving it your greatest attention? I think C.S. Lewis, he gave us some good advice on how we practically live this out. He says this: if you continue to love Jesus, nothing much can go wrong with you. And I hope you always do. So let us daily stoke our love for Jesus. Let us daily tend to our love for Jesus. Let us give the gospel our greatest attention, our greatest concern, our greatest efforts. And we might be challenged to push back here and say, why? Right, why does it matter? What's the big deal? What is so important about not drifting? Well, let's secondly now reflect on great judgment. I want to direct your attention now to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 2 through the first half of verse 3. It says this: for since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Now, what are these verses telling us? Well, once we understand these words, we realize that they are chilling words, sobering words. Let me explain why. The author of Hebrews is making an argument from something lesser to something greater here. Now, to comprehend this argument, we first have to understand some background on the Old Testament. Something that you may not have known about the Old Testament is that the angels played some role in delivering the law to Moses and the people of God. We see this in Deuteronomy 33, verse 2, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 19, in Acts chapter 7, verse 53. So angels in some way helped deliver the Old Testament law to God's people. And angels were seen as reliable messengers from God. For this reason, if anyone broke the Old Testament law, there was a just punishment that followed. And if you can understand that, then the argument the author of Hebrews is making is this: if people were punished for not paying attention to the message of the law that came from angels, then how much greater will the punishment be if people do not pay attention to the gospel message that comes to us directly from God the Son? Now, if I lost you, the text is essentially telling us this: there is a great and terrifying judgment for anyone who neglects the message, the gospel message, that is given to us in Jesus. These are chilling words, sobering words, words that are meant to shake us out of our apathy, our unconcern, and neglect. Because these words are telling us this morning, you are in danger. Because we've all neglected the gospel in some way. We've all not given it our greatest attention in life. We all at times have drifted from it. And we need to see this morning that we should not treat our drifting flippantly or lightly. For our drifting puts us in danger of suffering a great judgment. And this isn't a bluff. There are very real consequences to our actions. If you go outside right now and you lick a metal pole, you will experience a very real consequence for your action. You better believe every time you lick that pole, your tongue is going to get stuck. And in a similar way, if we neglect the gospel in our life, if we drift from it, the author of Hebrews is telling us, you better believe there's a very real consequence if something does not change. And we need to understand it's not a little consequence. It's not of little consequence to neglect our relationship with Jesus. It's not of little consequence to drift a little here and a little there. Our attention needs to be great because everything is on the line. In ancient Rome, centuries were expected to keep watch throughout the entire night without falling asleep. And if a Roman sentry was found to have fallen asleep while on duty, he was sentenced to death. For this reason, paying attention for a sentry, staying awake, it greatly mattered. His life was on the line. And they did not treat, for this reason, their watch duty lightly. Now, our situation is actually even more serious than this one. We need to pay even greater attention than a Roman sentry because it's not just a matter of life and death for us. It's a matter of eternal life and eternal death. It's a matter of heaven and hell. It's a matter that demands our utmost care, focus, and watchfulness. Are you paying attention to the gospel with this urgency? Are you taking the gospel seriously in your life? Do you understand what's at stake? Do you understand the gravity of the situation? See, if we're not careful, if we fall asleep, if we treat our drifting lightly, if we do not correct our drifting, then one day we may find that we have indeed neglected the great salvation that has been offered to us in Jesus. And on that day, we will see that we have no hope of escaping eternal wrath from God. We will encounter a very great judgment. Yet it's important that we pay attention to the gospel, not simply just to avoid a great judgment. Actually, the main reason we pay attention to the gospel is what we can take hold of. We can take hold of a great salvation that is given to us through Jesus. This is the heartbeat of the entire letter of Hebrews. It is to show us how great Jesus is. It is to help us recognize the great gift that we have in Jesus, the great salvation that has been given to us in the gospel. Yet at times, our drifting, it causes us to struggle to see the gospel's greatness. And maybe that describes where you're at this morning. Maybe the greatness of the gospel has diminished in your eyes. Maybe you're not in awe of Jesus and what he's done for you as you once were. Maybe you come today to church bored. Maybe you're struggling to remember why the gospel is good news. Or maybe you've lost your first love. See, if this describes you today, what you need to realize is that you do not feel this way because the gospel has actually decreased in its greatness. The sun does not become any less glorious just because you lock yourself in a dark room. A renowned musician does not become any less masterful just because you attend a concert with noise-canceling headphones. Yet this is often our problem. In our drifting, we've closed our eyes to the full brightness of the gospel's glory. In our drifting, we've hardened our hearts so much so that we no longer tenderly feel with awe and wonder the love of Jesus. In our drifting, we've muted the grand and triumphant symphony that is crescendoing with the gospel's victory in our life. And in doing this, the gospel, it hasn't become any less great or glorious in reality. We've simply just neglected and hindered ourselves from seeing salvation for what it is. Something that is truly great. So today, it's my prayer that the Holy Spirit would awaken us to see how great this great salvation is. So let me take a moment just to help you remember. Our Jesus is the very Son of God. Our Jesus is the heir of all things. Our Jesus possesses so much power and might that he spoke the world into existence with his words. He laid the foundation of the earth in the very beginning. He sculpted the heavens with his hands. He is the very brightness of the glory of God. He upholds and sustains the very world by his word. He sits at the right hand of the majestic throne of God. He is far superior to angels. He is the one God commands the angels to worship. He is God Most High. He is Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. He is eternity to eternity. He rules overall, is anointed overall. His power knows no lack. He is greater than his enemies. He is master over his enemies. He is victor over his enemies. He's the Lord of lords, the King of kings, God Most High, crowned in majesty and honor and praise. He is the great Savior, the great Messiah. He is our great Jesus. He is the one who took on flesh. He is the one who entered into your brokenness, your pain, and your sin. And even though he was without sin, he took our sin upon his shoulders. And he carried that sin to the hills of Calvary. And there he died on the cross, enduring the torture, enduring the pain, enduring the scorn, enduring the shame, enduring the penalty for our sins on our behalf. And when Jesus died and rose again, he broke the power of darkness. He broke the power of sin, death, and Satan. He rescued us from our doom. He rescued us from our sin. He rescued us from our darkness, from our pain, from our shame, from our failings, from our shortcomings, from our wicked and evil hearts. Jesus rescued us from the hell that we deserved. And he then filled our cup with life, joy, gladness, peace, love, grace, mercy, salvation, eternal life. Our great Jesus has given us everything. So today, let us no longer allow the glory of our great Jesus to be diminished in our eyes. Let us no longer allow apathy, indifference, and neglect to reign in our hearts. Instead, let us awaken from our slumber. Let us break open the floodgates of our love for Christ and come to worship him with full hearts and clear eyes. In the words of Matt Boswell, let our hearts be filled with 1,000 songs proclaiming the glories of Calvary. Let us see our Savior and this salvation for what it is, something that is truly great. That is what God wants for you this morning. Which is why he fourthly gives us a great confirmation. This great confirmation tells us why we can trust in this great salvation. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 2, the second half of verse 3 and verse 4. It was declared at first by the Lord. It was attested to us by those who heard. Well, God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Why can we trust and know that a great salvation has come to us? For many reasons. First of all, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, the very Lord of lords, he has come in the flesh to speak of this great salvation. Secondly, this gospel has been testified to us by apostles, by those who were eyewitnesses of Jesus. Thirdly, God confirmed everything that Jesus said through signs and wonders and miracles so that there could be no doubt that God was speaking and working and moving in a mighty way. And as if that is not enough, this gospel of great salvation has been confirmed by the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works in the believer's life. The point of all of this is to remind us that the gospel of Jesus, it is true, it is reliable. This great salvation that we have in Christ is exactly that. It is a true, great salvation. This is no fairy tale, right? This is not something that is too good to be true. This is not something that cannot be backed up. This is something we can trust with our life. So do not let anyone undermine this truth. Do not allow yourself to drift from this truth. For God has given us a great confirmation of his great salvation. So Gashlin, this morning, let us awake from our slumbering indifference. Let us not take lightly this danger of drifting in our life. But let us instead see with great attention that we are fastened securely to the dock of the gospel. Let us see with great attention that we are anchored in the harbor of Christ. Let us see with great attention that we are residing in the safe haven of God's great gospel. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning and Lord, we confess that in so many ways it is easy for us to drift. Lord, we have all, each and every single one of us, drifted in our apathy, in our indifference, in our unconcern, in our neglect. And Lord, we just want to confess our sin of drifting to you this morning. But Lord, we thank you that you are the great shepherd of the sheep. That you pursue those who are lost and wandering. And Lord, we pray this morning that you would stir our sinful hearts awake. Lord, that you would correct and change our drifting, that you would pull us back to yourself. Lord, I pray that you would remove the blinders that are over our eyes so that we can see how great and how glorious our Jesus is. So that we can see how great and how glorious this great salvation is. Lord, would you anchor us in your Son, Jesus? We pray this in the precious and mighty name of Jesus. Amen.